Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Tiana Sanchez. Tiana is an author and CEO and has an inspiring career transition story that, while it's not military related, I think it may help some of our listeners. Listeners who have transitioned out of the military oftentimes deal with the stress of redefining themselves, letting go of the past, and figuring out who they are all over again. Tiana joins us today to talk about how she used kickboxing and journaling to help her manage the stress during her own career transition. So welcome to the show, Tiana. I'm glad to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, I like to say that I'm an ex-hot dogger. You know, I don't know if people know what that means, so I'll explain it a little bit. I used to work at a gourmet fast food restaurant. And if you're from California, from the States, it was hot dog on a stick. It was just, it's like In-N-Out, but with hot dogs. And so I was an ex-hot dogger turned CEO back in 2011. You know, I started my career early on at the age of 16 years old, just kind of climbed the career ladder, if you will, worked in retail, worked in clothing, and then landed in the financial industry. And so you kind of know where I'm going with this story. So in 2006, 7, 8, we had that financial crisis similar to what a lot of people are experiencing now. A lot of people got laid off. A lot of people were losing their jobs, and I was one of those people. I got laid off, and I had to figure out what my next chapter was going to be. And those are some of the things that I'm hoping to share with your listeners today of how I was able to, 90 days later, start what is now known as my business and had some success with that. But it certainly was a journey. And so, but I'm hoping to share some of my nuggets with your audience today.
Right. And so, again, just for the listeners, just for clarification, you know, this is not a military related journey that you are going through, but there's a lot of similarities that I see that took place from your story. We'll get more into that in just a minute, to what people might experience as they're getting out of the military, as they're transitioning out, because sometimes it's unexpected, right? We have people who get medically discharged from the military, and, you know, these things are not always on the radar. Something happens and it's like, okay, a few months later, you're no longer in the military. You're no longer wearing the uniform. And now what do you do with your life? And, you know, what do you do? So in your situation, like you mentioned, it was a more of a corporate situation, a corporate layoff. And while the listeners may not relate necessarily with that sort of career transition, I'm sure there are many service members, like I said, who unexpectedly found themselves getting out of the military for one reason or another. And so what were some of the challenges that you faced when dealing with this layoff?
Well, first, it was unexpected. So I think we can all appreciate that there are certain situations that happen that you cannot plan for. And, you know, especially if you've had a pretty successful career or you thought this was going to be your last stop right on the career train. And all of a sudden, the landscape changed, the situation that you were in changed, and you're on the receiving end of a notice, you know, whether it was a RIF, a reduction in force, or a layoff, or, you know, your, you know, time was up in that particular position. And I think the unexpectedness is really what hits people because they're not prepared for it, especially if this is your last stop or this is where you think you're going to retire. This is where I'm going to build my family. I'm going to have my pension. I'm going to, you know, live out the rest of my days in this particular career. So you find yourself at what I like to call the intersection of oftentimes it's uncertainty. And sometimes it can be a level of excitement if you are thinking about, hey, this gives me an opportunity to figure out what I want to do. But oftentimes people lack on the excitement part. So it's definitely that feeling of uncertainty. So for me, I had to take in inventory, take stock of what those skill sets and things that I did well. And I heard someone once say they called it a talent stack. And it's a stack of your talents, your gifts, your natural inherent abilities. And so if, you know, what did you do while you were in your position? Were you a leader? Were you a self-initiator? Were you someone who could execute really well? What is that talent stack? So you identify those unique giftings and collectively they create this kind of stack, this jumble that makes you uniquely you. And once you assess that, then you start to say, okay, well, what can I do that really keeps me in this area and this kind of gifting? And so for me, I'd always managed. Scott, I'd always been in a leadership position. I'd always ran teams. I, you know, ran projects. I hired. And so for me, I said, let me pursue a career, or let me, you know, this next chapter where I can do those things. And so that is where I started. Now, that was the what. The how is kind of the next piece that we'll talk about. But that's a good start. It's that uncertainty that we have to wrestle with. And then assessing what is the natural gifts and talents that I have, and what can I then pursue in this next season to match that?
Yeah, and I like the idea that this could actually be an opportunity, because maybe this wasn't the career that was meant for you. Maybe you're working it and it's, you know, it's okay. It's the job you're working, but it's maybe not as fulfilling as you had hoped it to be. And maybe you could think of something bigger and better that you can be doing. And so maybe this is an opportunity to give you a nudge in that direction, where previously maybe you were just comfortable with where you were and it wasn't anything pressing that made you want to go and look for something else. But now you're in this discomfort of not having a job, no income, benefits, none of that coming in. And so now you have this opportunity available to you to now go out and look for something that really is going to be more fulfilling and lead you in the right direction. So you basically have to identify, like you said, the talent stack, all of the things that you had done in your previous roles, all the basically the resume bullet points, you know, the things that you would put on the resume to talk about your career and the types of things that you did, the types of people that you led as maybe a manager or some sort of leader in your organization, types of projects maybe that you worked on. And just translating some of that, you know, obviously a lot of that is corporate type way of thinking, but translating that to the military, you know, if you ever were in charge of anybody, this is for the listeners, in charge of anybody in the military, that's some leadership experience there. And you have that you can now think about, okay, did you enjoy doing that? Or did you enjoy things that you're maybe a little bit more off on your own to take care of things as opposed to leading a team of people? You know, if you enjoyed that, well, maybe that's a direction that you can look into as well. And think about the different types of work that you did. You know, obviously there's not a one-to-one correlation from military experience to civilian world for every job. You know, there's not a whole lot of infantrymen who are needed in the civilian corporate America world, right? But there are things that you've done as far as leadership abilities and things like that might be translatable to a civilian career as well. So I like how you mentioned, you know, identifying all of the talents that you have. It's really a good brainstorming session to just sit down and just write down everything that you could think of that you've done and what your talents are, right?
When there are transferable skills, there really are. And I sure. think I want to dispel the myth if we think that there is not a direct tie to what could potentially be, you know, working in military, working in corporate. I actually have worked with quite a few veterans. I'm a certified women business owner. And part of that, I get invited to different organizational meetings and I get to interact with organizations, people that have been disabled, that veterans, minority-owned businesses, and all of these. And one of the conversations that have happened is talking about the transferable skills that you have acquired that are absolutely necessary in a civilian or corporate environment. If you ever had to solve a problem, if you had to be disciplined, if you had to be a self-starter, an initiator, if you had to, you know, again, be a part of a team build, a lot of these do transfer over into other areas. You know, I was a kid. Now, my dad served in the Army many years ago, and I remember when he had to transition, you know, I was just a kid, but I remember that being a struggle for him. And then you have to deal with the aspect of what you saw when you were in the military to now having to wrestle with kind of your mental health in that vein. And so there are some, again, transferable skills that absolutely carry over into that environment. And it's identifying them is, again, a step if you've been laid off and you're trying to transition and looking at, is this really the career path that I want to choose? And now that I'm out of this, you know, what else could I do that would still be beneficial, that would still give me that zeal, that that zest for life or what I was doing previously. A lot of people use the word passion. Some people use purpose. And some people may feel like, hey, my purpose was left over here, you know, in that particular career. But you can reinvent. You can reestablish. You can evolve into something different or in a new career path. So there are some transferable skills. And I want to say that so that people really have a good understanding of that.
Right. And I like those, some of the ones that you mentioned as far as problem solving, team building, the discipline that's required, like all of those things are great to be able to focus on. Your military experience could translate over to the civilian side in terms of those transferable skills. Now, you mentioned the how, like that you're going to get into the how did you go about doing this? So let's touch on that.
So during the time, so this is what we're talking 12 years ago or so. And at the time I'd never been laid off before. This was my first, you know, firing, if you will, you know, or being laid off. And it was really rough for me. It was tough. And I imagine for people that it is, you know, everybody goes through different. It's a grieving process, really. It's like you're grieving the loss of something that you once had that is no longer there. It is dead, if you know, say it in that way. And so just like grieving, we go through different stages, right? We go through denial, you know, we go through sometimes resistance and we kind of try to recapture what was lost. You know, sometimes we become indifferent. We get angry about the situation and then we start lashing out. We might get angry about the person that had to make the decision to lay us off. We get angry with close family and friends. And so there was this grieving process. But one of the things that helped me, and this was very instrumental. So I had started kickboxing years ago, and I'd been kickboxing on and off for 7 years at the time. And it was this kind of correlation between this, you know, like a kick, like someone in a boxing ring, like there's a match. And so for me, I was looking at this new season of my life as like this match. And I'm like, okay, so my opponent I'm fighting is this idea of now, what am I, who am I if I'm not in my job? Because we're often defined by our jobs and our roles, especially if we've been in them for so long. So I was kind of fighting this mentally, this opponent of who am I? How am I going to be defined? And it was like, okay, well, I have to mentally get myself back in shape, this conditioning of self-confidence, of self-worth, of valuing myself. So again, and not only the talent stack of my skills, but even deeper than that is, again, that worth, that self-value that we attach to our jobs and our positions. And so I'm kind of in this, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm battling, what do I need to do? And so I'm kind of conditioning myself and I'm, you know, overcoming these challenges and these negative thoughts of, you know, I can't do this and thinking of I can. So I created this exercise that I did with, which I wrote in one of my books, which is called Blockers and Builders, because I do think there's oftentimes blocks in front of us. And we either have to break through them. Sometimes people go around them. But I also feel like blocks, when you stack them on top of each other, then you're building something, right? So you can have, visually speaking, like a brick wall, right, in front of you that you may have to go through or around. But then if you think of those individual bricks one by one, they're building something. And so I do this exercise called Blockers and Builders. And on one side, I have the word blockers, like two columns, right? And then on the other side, I have builders. And then I say, okay, well, what is the thing that is stopping you from pursuing whatever it is? And you kind of fill in the blank. What is blocking me from blank? And you kind of fill in the blank. And you list all of these things. And oftentimes what you hear, Scott, is money, you know, people, resources, education, opportunity, right? You hear all of these different things that kind of on the blockers. And honestly, the top three are usually like money, time, you know, or resources or something like that. Then you go on the other side. So once you list all of those things, and usually the list is long, but I don't give anybody longer than a minute to do that. And on the other side, I say, okay, what are the things that are what we call builders, the things that you already have, not what you don't have, but what you do have. And so we start to list things like, well, I have really good family support. I have 15 years of, you know, experience, military experience. I have creative problem solving skills. I may not have a degree, but I have, you know, real life experience in education. And so you see that usually on the blocker, on the builder side, we have more of these intangible, not easily broken, not based on external things, but more of these really rooted, grounded internal things that we can lean on. And then we find that, okay, well, I may not have the degree, but I have real life experience. And is that more valuable for me than, let's say, going out and pursuing this degree at this stage? I may not have, you know, a ton of money, but I have access to opportunities where I may be able to acquire some additional funds or things like that. So then you cancel out, you kind of begin to cancel out some of the blockers with the builders. And it's a great exercise, if nothing else, Scott, is to really get kind of in tune with what might be blocking us, you know, so we're not defeated. And that's a word that I use, that we're not defeated. So it's walking through that step in the process. So as you can see, there's a lot of up here work that we need to do before we actually go out. And then the other part of the how, which I'll talk about, is if you are going to pursue your next chapter, whether it's in civilian world, whether it's a consultant, whether it's writing a book or anything like that, then it's about defining and having a plan. Who do I need to get in front of? What relationships do I need to establish? What associations or organizations might I need to align myself with in order to get in front of those opportunities? One of my favorite books is behind me, and it's actually by two Navy SEALs, and it's called Extreme Ownership. I don't know if you've ever read that book. Love that book. And it is fantastic because the two authors, they literally turn the battlefield into a business plan. In a sense, they give you these kind of real tangible ways of how you can incorporate what we learned here in this environment, which is really life and death, to, you know, a business or a career or a workforce environment. And the two just really align nicely. So we can talk more about that, but I just kind of wanted the blockers and builders, that defeated mindset really helped me before I could actually go in front of someone else.
Right. Because those blocks that you're talking about, they could build something useful, right? In terms of, let's just say like a brick wall or something like that, that could build something useful, or it could stand in your way. And it really depends on how you're thinking about it. And, you know, whether or not you need to break through those, go around them, or use them to your advantage. And there's a lot of things that, as you were talking, I was thinking about how I know in the military, and I probably dismiss this as even something that was even worthwhile to mention to anybody, but you mentioned education and like teaching and things like that came to mind. And I don't know how many classes I've taught while I was in the military. I have no formal training as teacher or anything like that. I mean, I've taught various classes on, you know, medical related things. And, you know, I was not a medic. I was not a doctor or anything like that, but I still taught the classes on certain things like that. And it's still like, now I'm starting to think about it, like there are a lot of things. I was very adaptable and flexible. I was able to teach things that were out of my comfort zone, but I still was able to kind of go over the material, learn it myself, then be able to turn around and teach it. And so that type of thing is something that might be an opportunity for somebody, and they can use that as, you know, a way to say, hey, I'm capable of training teams. Even if I'm not the subject matter expert on this particular topic, I could still teach the class and train the team on whatever the subject is. You know, just give me the material, let me look over it, and let me educate myself. I'm pretty flexible as far as that goes. So, you know, there are lots of different ways that this type of mentality can help people and not be a hindrance to future prospects.
And let's get away from the idea that you, like you say, I don't have any formal training. I mean, I didn't get a degree in this. I didn't go to school for this.
Right.
Let me just say, while I truly think education is important, I do think it's overrated. I think there's a huge emphasis on that, where I believe experience outweighs that in many cases. And here's not Tiana saying it, but if you go online and you hit the Google and, you know, look up, it'll tell you how many graduates that get these degrees do not even pursue careers that they graduated in, that they've gotten a degree in. Because guess what companies want? Experience. So they might say, do you have a bachelor's degree? But also, where's your experience? And so if you've had 10 years of experience, Scott, in a particular area, I would count that as a level of expertise, because you have real life experience, real world experience, in classroom experience that a book and that theory is not going to teach you. So, you know, I want people this, if they say, hey, I didn't go to school, I don't have formal education, I didn't get this, that right there will be a first step. You need to start leveraging that and not say, here's what I don't have. Here's what I have. When someone asked me, that used to be a toughest question for me because I don't have a degree. Yet I run a very thriving organization where we work with companies all over. Okay. I used to hate when people asked me that question. It made me feel some kind of way because I knew I didn't have a degree. And so they're like, oh, where'd you graduate from school? And I'm thinking, I know they're not talking about high school. They're probably talking about college. So I'm like, and so I, for the longest time, it was very difficult for me to respond to that question. And so you say, oh, where'd you go to school? And so now when I don't even get that question asked very much, but when I get that question asked anymore, I'm saying, well, you know, I spent some time in school, but most of my experience that I have, I acquired through real world experience. And I literally respond that way. And that is how I was able to kind of get over that. But it used to bother me for a while. So I want to just encourage anyone listening that says, I'm not qualified because I don't have a degree. I didn't have formal education. You have more than you think you do. And if you can tap into that, like you said, hey, I've been teaching. I'm agile. I am adaptable. Can I tell you, working in the civilian corporate environment, working with nonprofits, I've worked with local government. Those are precisely the skills that we need. Did we not see the last 2 years? Were we not witness to all of the pivots and the things that we had to adjust and adapt to? And if you think about, you know, again, your military experience, you're in a moment's notice. You don't have hours, you know, days to prepare. You got seconds to make a decision and you got to pivot. You got to go from here to there in a moment's notice, not react in a certain way, because that could be life or death, and you got to keep it moving. So those kinds of skill sets are absolutely what is needed in a lot of workplaces.
You know, that couldn't be more true. I think, like just from my own personal experience, I have a degree in accounting. And like the only accounting work I do right now is I file my own taxes, and I don't even want to do that anymore. Like that's the closest that I get to doing accounting. And so, you know, just because I have a degree in something doesn't mean that I necessarily do that all the time. And when I first started, my first job out of college was in accounting. But I realized just how little I actually did know after getting that degree when I first started that job. You get so much more experience on the job. And of course, there's certain jobs you have to have a certain degree. You're not going to become a doctor without your medical degree, right? It's just right. Not going to happen. You know, so I'm not trying to say, oh, school is not for, you know, everyone, but you know, for certain careers, you may not need it. The experience that you have, whether it be military experience or other on the job experience that you might have acquired along the way, that might be sufficient for what it is that you're trying to do. And so don't discount your background or your abilities when you're looking at your peers. You know, I had a friend recently who got out of the military, went to high school together, and he was talking about, you know, just, you know, what's next for me? And, you know, I have to imagine it's pretty intimidating when you get out of the military and you see all of your peers, people that you went to high school with and stuff, who are now, you know, in their college graduates, a lot of them, they have their professional careers or they have all these things going for them. And he's sitting there thinking, okay, what's next for me? It almost feels like maybe he's just starting off, you know, I'm putting words in his mouth. He hasn't said that specifically to me, but I got to imagine that's got to be some of the thoughts going through his head. But he's a lot further ahead, I would imagine, than he might think he is. And that's true for, I think, anybody getting out of the military is you have a lot of experiences, and those experiences are worth, and oftentimes to an employer, they're worth a heck of a lot more than a piece of paper that said you spent 4 years at a certain college or whatever, you know?
Absolutely. And I just have to piggyback off. I love that you said they're worth something. And that is, you have to place a value, because guess what? When you go work for someone, they're going to place a value on what they think you should, you know, your skill sets or your talent stack is worth. You got to beat them to the point. You got to place a value on what you believe. Hey, I've spent 10, 15 years doing da, 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 da. I spent another 5 years over here, again, whether it's experiential or through an acquired degree of some sort, but you need to place a value. So, you know, step one, assessing your talent stack. What are those unique things that I do really well? Number two is, again, overcoming any doubts and concerns and things that you may think about your talent stack by doing the blockers and the builders exercise. what is blocking me and what can I use to help build? Like you said, you can see a brick wall as a hindrance, or it could be something that you can leverage, that you can use, because you can stack again these bricks and you can climb, you know, so you can use it different ways. If you are coming out, and this is the third, again, speaking about the how, there are associations and organizations for veterans. If you get connected in your local community, your city, to these associations, and they're usually sponsored by, you know, whether it's local government or something like that, but they have programs where you can acquire, build on your skill sets, get connected to opportunities, have a community of people that are just like you. Because sometimes you feel like you're an island alone, especially when you're unemployed. You're like, am I the only one going through this? And it's nice to have a community of people that are going through the same things. And you can, you know, share and support one another. And hey, I got this opportunity. Hey, oh, do you have one for me? You know, and it's really helpful, and to not get discouraged. But there are organizations, there are so many programs. I'm a certified women-owned business. That is actually a certification. I'm not just saying it. There is a certification for veterans. If you want to establish, become an entrepreneur, start a business, because maybe that's your path and you want to do that too, you could become a certified veteran-owned business. And what that means is, let's say, Scott, you want to consult with people about how to facilitate and how to train, because that's what you did for so long. Or you want to help a team understand the importance of being agile in an ever-changing landscape. Again, I'm just kind of making this up. But let's say they want to consult with you. I'm going to become a certified veteran-owned business. When you go to partner with these organizations, they are encouraged. When I say encouraged, I'm using that nicely, strongly encouraged to hire and procure vendors that are diverse, meaning veteran-owned, disabled, women-owned, minority-owned, indigenous, so on and so forth. And yeah, I want to say it's about 10 to 15% or 20 to 25% of their vendors, consultants, or what have you, they want them to be diverse. So it actually is to your advantage to have that, let's say, that certification or that, you know, listing after your name. So there are programs. So accessing those within your city, your community, would be a step number three that I would say that you can do that. All the other things, helping brush up your LinkedIn profile, getting your resume revised, if that's the path you want to take. If it's entrepreneurship, LinkedIn is great. If it's, hey, I want to go work for someone else or do something else, you know, maybe it's a resume. And local government agencies will hire you too, you know, so there's still opportunity there. But those would kind of, if I could narrow it down to some kind of real tangible steps, those would be the top three.
And those are great steps, I think, and to help people just get the action steps in their mind and what they should be doing, they should kind of follow those steps. You know, just those simple things. And I know when you're facing this big challenge, right? You're facing a career change and you don't know what to do next. You know, there's a lot of things that you need to do. You know, you have to start applying for jobs. You need a resume. You need to do this. You need to do that. All these things, that's a lot. It's like drinking from a fire hose. It's like, you're not going to get it all in. And so having just, okay, here's a few simple steps that you could do just to right off the bat, and you can do these things right now, knock these things out, and that will set you up for success going forward when you are starting to get into the application process and all that kind of stuff, right? But without that, it starts to become this real big task that you're now faced with, and it's hard to get around what is next, right? And you have so many things coming at you that you know you need to do. So, you know, just coming up with a checklist of the first three to maybe six things that you might need to do might be the best way to tackle this, and then take it piece by piece. There's a saying, what's the best way to eat an elephant? And it's one bite at a time. Like, it's a big task. Like, if you're going to eat that thing, it's going to be a big task, but you got to do it. You got to start somewhere. And so one bite at a time, right? And so same thing with this, is it may seem like a big daunting task, but take it one step at a time.
And you're not doing it. You don't have to do it alone. The fact that you're listening to this podcast tells me you're a step in the right direction. One of the first things might be, hey, I want to, you know, get someone, you know, like if we want to get in shape, we hire a personal trainer, right? Or you know, if our marriage is on the rocks, we go to a marriage counselor, therapist. At least I hope that's what one might do. You know, so guess what? That's asking for help. And we have to get over the fact that asking for help is a weakness. We have to see it as, no, I'm asking because either I don't know how, or I figured out how, and the how tells me I need some support and some assistance in this. And so even if the steps that we describe, you may have accomplished one or two, or you may say, well, maybe I can do a little bit of that, but I want to focus on something else. It's customizing it to you. And it's having someone maybe come alongside you and helping to create that plan. When I left, when I started my own business, I simultaneously worked for a career management firm. And this career management firm worked with people that were laid off. They literally, their companies had given them this, as I guess, as a parting gift. Hey, we're going to set you up with this company. They're going to help redo your resume. They're going to coach you. And I was literally a career coach for about 4 years with this firm, simultaneously while working in my business. So that also tells you can do multiple things. There's not necessarily one thing that you have to do and that's it. You might want to explore and kind of figure out stuff, you know, in this process. But I worked with so many people who had never been laid off, who had just had gone through this horrendous reduction in force and having to take care of their family, concerned about their, you know, their house. Is it going to, you know, are they going to, you know, what's going to happen? Do they have to move? And, you know, and all of this. And I tell you, having someone, I do believe the impact or the support that I was able to provide them through in that very delicate time, I do believe it was beneficial. And I do believe it helped them. So don't think that you have to go through this alone. And the fact that you're listening to this tells me that you're making the right decision already, that you're realizing there's something that I don't know that someone else does that I need to tap into.
Yeah, absolutely. And that thing that you might be really passionate about, you might have, whatever it may be, that thing that you're, that just burns you inside. It's like gets you up in the morning and you're thinking about it constantly. You may not have the business for it yet. You may not have the audience, the reach or the sales or anything like that to be able to make that your full-time thing. But like in your case, you had a full-time job. You had the job that you were working, but in the meantime, you're building your other business on the side. And that's perfectly fine to do too. People do that all the time. You know, that's, you know, you use your free time, use nights, weekends, use whatever time that you have. And yeah, for a few years that might just eat away at all of your free time. You'll be working towards something and building something. Going back to that example of, you know, building with the blocks, you might be building something as opposed to being blocked from doing something, right? You talk about finances being a blocker in some cases. Well, in this case, you have this job that enables you to keep a roof over your head, keep food on the table, keep your car going, gas in the car, all that kind of stuff. But in the meantime, it also gives you the flexibility and the free time to be able to work on what you are passionate about, which will eventually lead you to being able to possibly do that full time. And that's a great way to build that thing that you're doing. You know, you may be working something that you're not totally passionate about. Hopefully you have some interest in it, obviously, but it may not be that thing that really burns you inside, that gets you moving. But eventually you'll be able to do work on that full time if you focus on it. And it's, you know, obviously a good idea, and you know, the execution has to be there too. But if you really want it, my experience has been that most people have been able to figure out a way to make something like that work, you know?
Yes. You know, I was thinking and it was, you were talking, and there's a military term. I want to say it's for, you know, the Air Force, but OODA loop. Have you heard of that term before?
Yes. Yes.
So, and there's actually a TED talk on it, but it really speaks to this, where you observe, orient, decide, and act. You know, you're looking at your environment, your surroundings, and you're having to make, you know, that's kind of game time decisions. But if it helps to think about that, hey, this is a big decision I'm making in my life, before I act on it, before I even come to a conclusion around, let me observe, let me orient myself to the situation. I'm now laid off. Okay. This is what's happening. Okay, let me get my bearings. Let me kind of figure it out. Okay, now what do I need to do? That kind of thinking actually helps to organize your next steps, because it can feel very jumbled. It can feel very chaotic. It can feel like a battlefield. It can feel all of that. And so you have to, okay, let me settle into this. Let me figure out where I am. Let me get clear. Let me do, okay, what blockers, builders, da, 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 da. Okay, where am I? What kind of skill set? Okay, now what's the next step that I need to do? And then you act on it. But I do think, you know, that could be a helpful tool in organizing these steps that we provided you in this process. And you can Google it if you want to learn more about OODA Loop.
Yeah, hopefully for the listeners, they're somewhat familiar with that, but not everyone may be familiar with that particular term. So yeah, definitely, you know, Google that and check it out. You also used journaling during this time, right? How did that help you?
Yes. So I'm not actually one for a huge lot of journaling, but I started right after I got laid off and I started capturing some of my thoughts. Interestingly, at the time that I was laid off, I'm going to say maybe a year later, my sister was hospitalized and she almost died. And that kind of that situation makes you reevaluate life in many different ways. And so I started writing the experience that I was going through with her as she was recovering in the hospital for almost a month and where I was in my life. And again, just the preciousness of life in general and how we may take for granted a lot of things. And then we start to put things in perspective. And so started thinking about my own situation, about what I was going through and the grieving, the loss of this job and how it defined me. I started writing out my feelings and I started thinking about that word defeat because I was kickboxing. And I just kept journaling and kept journaling. And I'm like, you know, I think this could be a book. And it was actually my first book, which is called Undefeatable, Conquering Self-Defeat. And it literally, Scott, is based on my experience of going through the having a career, not having a career, and then redefining my career by becoming my own boss and running my own business. And it's filled with hope and inspiration, having faith, and all of that was kind of wrapped in there. But again, it was very cathartic. It helped me to get things out of my head and onto a piece of paper to write things down, even if it was just a couple words, even if it was just like, hey, today's date and this is what's going on. And I said, if this can help someone else through what I went through, then I'm happy for that. And that brings me great joy. And that literally was the first book that I wrote, published in 2000, and I think it was 2013.
Yeah. And just the act of just writing things down when you have so much going on in your head, trying to figure out what the next step is, trying to figure out what you're good at, what you maybe don't want to do, because that's probably equally as important as what you do want to do. You know, all these things that are going through your head, sometimes just writing it down is useful. I'm not saying that everyone needs to write a book necessarily from what they're going through, although, you know, nothing wrong with that either, but just jotting down some notes and saying, this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm dealing with. And action of just writing stuff down, just sometimes you slow down and process things a little bit better. You know, I've found sometimes thoughts just race through my head and it's hard to keep up with that, with all those thoughts that are racing through my head. But if I slow down and I write down what those thoughts are, I have to slow down because I can't write as fast as my brain can think. And so I slow down and that gives my brain a chance to catch up and maybe come up with some other ideas that might be worthwhile, right? And help me solve whatever the problem is I'm going through. So yeah, I mean, journaling is a great tool. I mean, it's a tool. It's something that's useful in certain circumstances. It may not be useful all the time, but, you know, just like a hammer or a screwdriver, they're very useful if you're, you know, trying to build a house or something, but they're not always useful, you know, if you're changing a tire, right? But they're tools that are out there that are available to people that you just have to start using. And that might be helpful to help you process what it is that you're going through. And it doesn't even have to be career related. It could be anything that you're going through. Just writing stuff down. And, you know, it's a pretty good habit to get into if you are struggling with some of your thoughts and, you know, just trying to wrap your head around what is going on in your own life. So that's pretty awesome. And I'm glad. So you said that the book Undefeatable, Conquering Self-Defeat is the title of the book. So encourage people to go check that out. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. And I know you have another book as well, too. Could you tell us about that book?
Yes. Yeah, so kind of a follow-up to Undefeatable, because I talked about defeat. And part of defeat is when we fail or when we experience failure. Because I like to say failure is an experience. It's not a permanent state. And it's called EFTA, the upside of failure. So it's not using cuss words, but it's failing up, failing forward. And so it was kind of a follow-up from the first book. And it really explores how our relationship with that word And it can be very taboo. We talk about a little bit about the growth mindset and the fixed mindset with Carol Dweck, really is kind of the author of talking about the growth mindset and the fixed mindset. And so that's what that book is about. And both of them, you know, are tackling the mind, really, are tackling our thoughts, are challenging us with our behaviors and actions. And in both books, Scott, I actually have, because I wanted this to be a working solution. And so in both books, there's some exercises. So in Undefeatable, in the back of the book, it kind of gives you 31 days of, quote, conquering self-defeat. And so it asks you some questions. It gives you some things to kind of probe you to think about your situation. And then it has blockers and builders. So you actually do the exercise every day and it becomes your 31-day journal. So it's actually already in there. And then in the FDEB book, in the very back, we have it where, hey, I want to join with someone and kind of do this group discussion on this chapter. And so we dive deep. At the end of the book, it gives you some guidance of how to, let's say you want to bring this to a group of friends or people or whatever and teach it, you know, then it gives you the ability to do that. So both of them have that weaved inside of the book. And I think you're spot on. Just to go back, my best ideas literally come in the morning or at late at night. And so I constantly have to have a journal or something and a pen near me, or I even use my voice notes. I could be driving. I have great ideas and I don't have time to jot them down, but I want to capture them. You know, we have these wonderful smart devices. Grab out your phone and create a folder of notes that you can record also. So whether it's the physical journey with a pen and paper, or whether it's a voice note, or whether it's whatever it is, but I don't be limited by not capturing those things, because that creativity can come at any moment, at any time. And, right. You know, jotting some of that down could be helpful.
And the other nice thing, too, that I found with the voice notes is that depending on the app or the phone that you have or whatever, they can transcribe the words that you dictate into the device. And so you can actually go back and read it. So later on, if you are in a situation where you don't want to have your voice going and, you know, if your spouse is sleeping and you want to go back, it's like, oh, I had that idea and I want to go back and like rethink about that or whatever. You can go back and read what you said. And it's actually pretty cool how it'll do that. So technology has gone so crazy with so many different things. It's pretty amazing what we're capable of doing. And I know it's something as simple as just a voice recorder, which, you know, you always could have done with, you know, a tape recorder or something like that. But, you know, now having all these abilities to file them, organize them on digital files, you can access them on multiple devices all over the place. It's pretty amazing what we're capable of doing. So
yeah.
Before we wrap up, if you had one piece of advice that you have for other people out there who unexpectedly find themselves in a career transition period, whether it's military transitions or a corporate layoff or, you know, anything like that, what would that one piece of advice be?
Don't count yourself out. And what I mean by that is there may be a new chapter that you haven't even explored yet. Don't count yourself out of that. There may be something else that is revealed through this process about you. Maybe by taking this time off, you realize, hey, my health isn't at the greatest and I need to kind of reevaluate that. Don't count yourself out of doing something different or thinking that, hey, I'm 65 years old. What do I have to offer to this young new generation or to these, you know, I'm working in a place with 20-year-olds. Don't count yourself out, because people need wisdom. They need people with experience and advice and wisdom and someone who can, you know, give that. There's a lot of information that gets lost across generations. So I would say don't count yourself out, especially if you feel like you're seasoned. And I like to say, you know, kind of the seasoned older generation, you are still of value. You are still needed. And there's someone out there that needs what you have.
Like a fine wine that gets better with age.
Yes, yes.
Well, Tiana, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I love that advice and I loved everything that you were talking about. It's really great information for those who are finding themselves in this transition period in their lives. It doesn't matter, like you said, it doesn't matter what age you're at, it doesn't matter what job you're coming from or going to. We all find ourselves in these transition periods where we're grieving the loss of who we were, what we identified as in the past, and looking forward to what is coming ahead. Where can people go to not only get a copy of your books, but also to find out more about you and what you do?
Well, thank you for asking. They can go, it's super easy, TianaSanchez.com, and that's with a Z, Sanchez. You can find me on LinkedIn, but on the website, TianaSanchez.com, has a ton of information. It has resources, some free stuff, some goodies over there. and LinkedIn. I would love to connect with you. Send me a quick note, message, DM me, say, hey, heard your episode on Drive On. Would love to connect, and I will gladly connect with you. So hope you reach out. And thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. Yeah. Likewise, it was an absolute pleasure speaking with you. So thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.